let me introduce you to your next favorite true crime podcast, Crime Salad.
Ashley and Ricky, a husband and wife team, go beyond telling crime stories. They dive into the darkest corners of human nature with the ultimate goal of preventing future tragedies. Together, they shine a relentless spotlight on critical issues like relationship violence and domestic abuse, inviting you to explore the complexities of these societal challenges.
Now, let us set the scene for a recent Crime Salad episode, which is titled The Search for Haley Cummings.
The disappearance of a 5-year-old girl leaves the Florida community in disbelief. In the early morning hours of the night, an open back door remained eerily left open where Haley was staying. A wave of dread swept through the community and the family as the unimaginable happened. Was this the work of a kidnapper, or did the little girl wander off? The search for Haley brought a community together in the darkest of times.
Since 2019, Ashley and Ricky, the Crime Salad duo, have continued to deliver stories that are not only fascinating and well-researched, but also have a strong voice for change and justice. So grab your headphones and prepare to be pulled into a world where mystery meets humanity. Make sure to tune in to Crime Salad wherever you find your podcasts and join a growing community of listeners who tune in every week. And now back to your regularly scheduled haunting. Let's Get Haunted with your host,
Nat Strawn
and Allie. Welcome back, guys, to episode number...
Doesn't matter.
90?
Who cares? They can see it. They can see it.
That's true. I'm pretty sure it's 90.
Welcome, guys.
Welcome back.
And if you're a furry, boy, do we have a special surprise for you.
Yes, Natalia, tell me about your Halloween costume.
You know what? I'm a cat that's dying of old age, like an 18-year-old cat sitting on the back of a sofa just thinking about death. And you dangle a string in front of it and it's just like, you know what? I don't have time for this.
Right. Well, I think that's very haunted. And I love the addition of the red eyes because this is our final episode of October. This is the final spooky season Halloween episode.
Yeah.
And Nat's a dying cat, and I'm not so flat earth.
Yeah. Oh, not so flat earth. I thought you were going to be flat earth.
You know, the problem is I couldn't make myself two dimensional.
Oh.
So I decided let's go the complete opposite of flat earth.
Okay. So not flat earth.
Correct.
So just earth.
Look, not quite round though. So still a little bit haunted.
Ah, yeah. Okay. So you're like in between flat earth and just earth?
Right. Like I'm not sure if the earth is flat or not. So right. I'm just safely going in the middle.
You're not committing one way or another. You're open to interpretation.
Look, who's to say?
Right.
Is the earth flat and hollow with magical people living at its core?
Who knows?
Who knows? Who's to say?
Who's to say? I agree. I love it.
I'm just trying to be, you know, very welcoming of all conspiracy theorists on this channel.
It's so embarrassing when people ask what your podcast is about. And I'm like, oh, well, it's like, you know, aliens and ghosts and like conspiracies. And then they start talking to me about a bunch of conspiracies and shit.
And you're like, I don't.
And I'm like, you know what? I really don't like that part of the show, to be honest.
Right, right. Like, well, they're stressful. I feel like ghost stories are intriguing.
Yeah.
Alien stories are just like, that's 100% true. So that's just the truth. And then conspiracy theories are just super stressful because it calls into question everything you've ever thought of.
Right.
So I just choose to ignore them for the most part.
Yeah. I'll do a few of them, but it's not out of joy. It's because I'm punishing myself.
Exactly. It's like sighing deeply before researching a conspiracy theory episode is required.
Yeah.
That's a requirement.
Yeah. And after hearing it.
After hearing it, it's just like, all right, I got to go take a Benadryl and sleep for 18 hours because I need to reset my brain and pretend that this never happened.
Totally agree with that one. Well, the story I'm actually excited to give today is like legit story. It's not going to make anyone want to reset any of their brains.
And it
combines some crazy conspiracies, which we've covered on this podcast, with some real life historical events. And those are my favorite kind of episodes to do, historical events.
Yes, historical events are very fun. Now, history class in high school was awful, but I've learned so much from this podcast about interesting history.
Right. You know what? I think that history and English class are the two classes where if you don't have a good teacher, it might as well be math.
It's game
over. It's like snore zone.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you have a good teacher, then you're going to remember shit because they're going to turn everything into a story.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My English and my history teachers were the best teachers I've ever had in my life. So there's like random things that I know about that like I can't unknow. I can't forget, rather. Like,
oh, they're really good at teaching you English, aren't they? You can't unknow stuff. Wow.
But what I know is like Beowulf. Like I could talk to you about Beowulf for a long time because I remember that. Or I could talk to you about like Mesopotamia, or I could talk to you about like Mary Queen of Scots. But when it comes to like everyday getting by, like, how to use technology, probably not gonna make it.
Well, I guess that's true. Like, I remember a little bit of world history. I just feel like a lot of it was like, all right, we only have one semester to learn literally everything in the world.
Ever happened in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So then you just get the worst parts because it's like, in this year, this treaty was signed. In this year, this treaty was signed. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the treaties.
Tell me about the war.
Yes.
Tell me about the hauntings.
Exactly.
Tell me about the bitch that got her head cut off.
Right. Like, tell me about like how many witch trials did this country have.
Right. What were they wearing?
Yeah. What was up with that?
Who was fucking who?
Exactly. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about treaties, NATO, and anything else, actually.
Yeah. I'm super excited that you said that because every time that I do a historical sort of episode, I only choose the parts of history that I like want to talk about.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. It's like, don't worry about dates. Don't worry about names.
Right.
If I tell you that someone had syphilis brain, you're going to remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody had hot brain. Great.
Yeah.
What they do because of their hot brain. That's all I care about.
I mean, wearing red contacts because I got these for my Mothman costume, but they didn't come in time.
Well, I think that it's a good thing that you wore them today because my least favorite thing about ordering things for this podcast is when they don't arrive in time, so then I abandon it altogether. So I admire that you stuck to it.
Yeah. Well, I had to figure something out. And if I'm being honest, how the fuck do people put this shit in their eyes?
I've never tried.
You've never worn contacts?
Never.
Didn't you have glasses though for a while?
I do have glasses. I choose not to wear them.
Oh, so can you not see very well?
No, I can see. It's like, okay, so the glasses I have are for nighttime driving. Because when I look at lights at night, let me know if anyone else has this problem. When I look at like street lights, there's like a giant halo that like kind of like blurs everything out around it. So I have these glasses that are supposed to help for that.
Did you ever go in tanning beds as a teenager?
Never.
Oh, okay. I did, which doesn't make sense because I'm already brown. But you guys, I wanted to be more brown.
Right.
So they said that if you didn't wear those like little ugly cone things on your eyes,
it just burns your retina.
That the UV rays would go through and they would make it so that at night all of the lights would have like a halo around them and be blurry and it would be hard to see at night. So I was just wondering, maybe that was a lie. Maybe they just wanted me to spend money to get those ugly things because they're like, why would anyone want to buy this? Super ugly.
Right. Or they just don't want to be liable just in case.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing I wanted to talk about today is that I don't have a nail cam today. My nails are very gross, but I have a butterfly sticker cam.
Yeah. I love that. It's so very cute.
Maybe we'll add in post a picture of my butterfly stickers.
Yeah.
At post.
You know, it's funny that you said there's no nail cam this week. So like I like give up on doing my nails. Well, I had really long natural nails, like those dragon nails and all that shit, guys. That was my real nail. And if you don't know that, that's a fucking hard work to grow that shit out without
mine
it breaking
does
off.
Not grow.
So I just got annoyed with it. I couldn't type. I couldn't do anything. First of all, I have like huge man hands. And I was like, you know what? I literally cut it like just in a moment of madness. I cut my nails so short that they were bleeding.
What?
Because I have really long nail beds. That's part of the reason that it's easy for me to grow them long is because like the pad of my nail, like the meat of my nail that's holding the nail on is like longer than the average nails. So it's like even if they look like an inch long, they're really only half an inch long.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So then I was just like, you know what? This is average bitch summer. Like average bitch nails I'm bringing back. And
it's its own form of haunting.
Yeah, I like quit breastfeeding because I fucking just can't do it anymore, guys. I'm done with it. But it was so exciting.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so glad. Comment below if you've ever given up breastfeeding and just been like, I feel so free now.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I did was I went and I got a sugar-free Red Bull and I drank the shit out of it with my fucking average girl nails and I felt so free.
Yes, like, you're a phoenix rising from the ashes.
Yes.
A whole new woman.
Yes. I was so excited. Who knows what could happen next? Maybe I'll just smoke a blunt later. I don't know.
Who knows?
You know? It's freedom. I haven't been able to do whatever I wanted with my body for like over a fucking year.
Right.
because that guy was inside of me.
That's true. You were a conduit to his survival.
Yes.
It wasn't about you. And now it's right. finally about you again.
I know. Yes. So I feel like you guys are going to see like a new Nat coming up.
I'm very excited.
I'm currently sober right now, but so don't get any ideas. Sometimes people comment, they're like, I think Nat's high. And I'm like,
you guys, we're just naturally stupid. I don't really know like what else to say. Especially sometimes when we do collaborations, I feel like our core audience knows us.
Right.
But sometimes we do collabs or we have a guest on and they bring their audience. And that's always when we get the comments about like,
they're so high.
Yeah. What are they doing?
Right.
What are they even talking about? They're being so weird. It's like, hi, welcome to our show. You know what? I just thought of another personal haunting.
What?
So last night at like 11:30 p.m., I'm laying in bed. I'm like so close to falling asleep. My phone was on loud for some reason. Normally I have it on vibrate.
Oh no.
And the little like ding of like a text message coming through. I have like the wind chime noise.
Oh wow.
So it's like ring.
Yeah,
and
that's then, meditative.
Yeah, meditative, but also disturbed me because I was nearly asleep. And so I pick up my phone and I look and it's from a number I don't have saved. And I open it and it is like two of those like wet emojis. I was like, what the fuck? Who is this? And then a couple seconds later, the grossest dick pic I've ever seen in my life came through. And it was, I blocked the number. I'm like pretty sure this person like had no balls or they were like up inside them. And then just like this weird, like the head didn't match the shaft. It was disgusting. No offense if you have a dick like that, but also don't send unsolicited dick pics.
Right.
And I went into work today and I was like searched the HR database just to see. And it's somebody who I work with.
Someone who you work with? So you're going to fire them, right?
Yeah. By the time you hear this, they'll be fired.
Why
yeah.
would they do that?
Because they didn't show up to work today. Could have been a mistake, but I doubt it.
Are they just like, hi?
I don't know. I think
so. They
just
did that and then they didn't show up to work.
Right. Let me show you what it looks like.
No, I don't want to see it.
I want you to describe it.
I don't want to see it.
Well, too late.
I don't want to get closer. That is disgusting.
Yeah.
It's very graphic.
Fucking gross.
Why is it so clear?
Yeah, I know. What kind of like model iPhone do you have? Also, why would you ever think it's a good idea to send your HR rep?
How did they have your number?
Because everybody has my number because I'm HR. So if they have to call me to be like, hey, I'm like having this problem or
whatever.
And
not even from like a burner phone?
Nope.
What the fuck? Has that ever happened to you before?
Actually, the other day I got after work hours, somebody sent me like very clearly a drunk text being like, do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
How stupid are these people?
I mean, when you work with a large swath of people, I feel like most people are really fucking cool, never give you any shit.
Right.
But then the couple people who like constantly cause problems for you are like the worst problems you can ever imagine, like sending you a dick pic.
It's just so frustrating because I feel like you only have to deal with that because you're female, you know?
Yes, 100%. And that's why I dress like a completely different person at work. But yeah, the text I got the other day was something like, your beautiful eyes. Keep in mind, I wear a mask at work. So like this person was like definitely like searching for compliments. And I'm, but I'm also
the only thing you can see on your face, but you also have beautiful eyes.
Well, thank you, Natalia.
Yeah.
They're very round, I will say. And they stare at you very intensely whenever you tell
me a
story.
Yeah, the whites are so white.
Sanpaku eyes, right? Is that what it's called? Where we learned about in the Kennedy curse episode where like the whites of your eyes underneath.
Oh, crazy eyes.
Yeah, crazy eyes.
What's Sanpaku mean in Spanish?
No, it's Japanese. I think it just means whites of your eyes.
I was thinking like Sanpaku, like Sanpaku.
Oh.
And it sounded Spanish to me.
Well, Saint Paco.
Right.
Saint Paco eyes.
Wow, we really have gone off course.
We have, but those are the two hauntings going on. Because I feel like lately I haven't really shared any personal hauntings with you.
Those are super haunted.
These are super haunted. So.
People really like to hear about how shitty our lives are. They're like, oh, that's great. I'm on my way to my job. That's normal in
my
scheduled life where like things go right. This is hilarious.
I will also say, because now I feel bad for sharing these two stories, I love my job. I love what I do. This doesn't happen frequently. This is just every once in a while you'll get some douchebag dude. And it's always someone new. Somebody new that's just like, I have an HR rep that's not 100 years old.
Right.
Now I'm going to get wasted and send the weirdest text of my life.
A dick pic to them.
On the off chance that she's receptive.
How are people even still sending dick pics?
I don't know.
Like, how is that even a thing?
I mean, again, it could have been a wrong number text, but like, that's a pretty awful wrong number. So the guy that sent me like the drunk text about like, your eyes are so beautiful or whatever, he also said that he really likes me because I am simple. I was laughing
like
so hard.
Is he calling you dumb or is he calling you plain? Like, what is that? You're simple.
I will say that like the difference between like American culture and some other cultures, not every culture, but some other ones, is that Americans are, even though we think we're not, we're very to the point.
Right.
Like, it's like, hey, you did this wrong.
Oh,
you need
blunt.
To do this. Yeah, blunt. I think that's what he meant. But the way he phrased it was like, oh, I just really like you because you're so simple.
You're also his fucking HR representative. You're not going to like say like weird poetic shit to them. You're going to be like, here, by law, I'm going to tell you what you have to fucking do.
Maybe next time I'll just start reading like in a Shakespeare voice. Yeah. Be like, thou hast violated commandment number 7.2 of thine employee handbook.
Wow. I would like to thank some of our donors. Okay. We're going to be thanking...
time.
Brielle S., Lewis W., Elena B., or Lana B., and Jennifer Payne. And Jennifer Payne donated $69.69.
Whoa.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. And if you guys want to donate to us, we really appreciate it more than you know, more than we have time to talk about on the show.
Absolutely.
You can Venmo me, first of all, at Nat Strawn, or you can paypal.me/Nat Strawn, or you can Cash App $@Natalia Strawn, or you can go to letsgethaunted.com. There is a link to donate to our Ko-fi page where you can give us holy water or something else.
You can, I think it's just holy water, but look, the more holy water you give us, the more extreme hauntings we can safely bring you.
Right, exactly.
And I'd like to... I would like to thank Sean R., Sydney B., Lara or Laura W., I think it's Lara, Lara W., Lauren D., and Olivia M. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
For your generous donations.
Yeah.
Your donations keep the show going. You can also continue to buy merch on our website.
Right. We want to make Letterman jackets.
Yeah.
That are Let's Get Haunted Letterman jackets.
That would be
how
so fucking
cute would that
cool.
be, right?
Love it.
Like,
I'm here for
with
it.
With the LGH on the over the heart. And then maybe you can so get some cute. Patches of the different episodes.
Okay.
Like a Mothman
yes.
patch.
I would wear that literally every day.
A nightmare patch. I know, right? And then I was even thinking too of putting on the back like a horse on fire rearing like the nightmare.
That would be really fucking
right
cool.
How cool that'd be, and everyone would be like, that's a fucking sick jacket, and you would be like, yeah, listen to Let's Get Haunted.
That's right. I wanted to shout out Addie S., who is a listener of our podcast. Ooh. Who just got married a couple weeks ago, and while she was setting up for her wedding, she was listening to Let's Get Haunted.
What? And that made that gave you peace?
I think so.
She was you know, it could be so, like, whatever happens in this marriage can't be as bad as what I'm hearing about.
Right, right.
Like it gives
you
the opposite of cold feet.
At least I'm not at a crossroads, like, watching the procession of the dead and the damned walk.
That's
down
incredible.
The street.
Wait, I hope she sends pictures or something like that.
I told her send pictures of her dress. So I think she will at some point.
Oh, amazing. Well, congratulations. Look at Let's Get On It, getting people married. I can't believe this.
Yes, we take all the credit for your marriage, Addie. If it's successful and you have a good honeymoon, it's because you listened to Let's Get Haunted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that is not a good segue for this, but you said you wanted to shank someone earlier.
Oh, yeah, it was an accident. I was trying to say thank, but the guy's name was Sean, so it came out shank.
Well, shank is actually a very good subway. I almost just said subway.
Yeah, it's a
you
good
know
subway.
It could be a good subway to
it's
where we're
a
going.
It's a subterranean train system into the next topic.
So, Alyssa.
Yes.
Are you ready to get into this story?
Never been more ready in all of my days.
Give me some excited body language.
Woo!
Alyssa.
That might have been a touch too crazy. Sorry, guys. I went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Alyssa.
Yes.
The story I'm about to tell you today mm-hmm. will break your spirits.
Oh.
It will drain you of all of the will you have to save humanity from itself. It will shroud your joy in a heavy fog of hopelessness, like a lost kitten following a ray of sunlight out of a dark wood, only to be met by a pack of wolves somewhere in the meadow.
I don't know. That's sad.
It will carry you to the climax of human suffering, and then release you,
like a nestling shoved from the safety of your mama's home to splat on the unforgiving concrete. It will challenge your tolerance for the ethical treatment of mankind. It will break your spirits as it's designed to. That's right. This story is designed to break your spirit because it's modeled on a building which was only created to break spirits. Do you have any idea what we're going to talk about today?
Something that's going to break my soul? Can you reread that last part? I was just concentrating on splatting against pavement, and then I got so triggered.
This story is designed to break your spirit because it's modeled on a building which was only created to break spirits.
Okay, so is this a sanitarium?
Ooh. Well, I would argue that sanitariums are supposed to like unbreak your spirit.
Oh, but the old-timey
ones?
Yeah,
but they did.
The old-timey ones when they were still called insane asylums, I feel like right. They just made you do hard labor
right.
and take lithium.
Yeah.
And that's it.
They're like, oh, you're angrier than the average person. Welcome to jail.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what this is about?
No, this is not.
Oh.
If you get sent to this particular haunted prison, it's because you were unable to behave in any other prison.
Okay.
Alcatraz was built. Alcatraz was built to break the spirits of even the most rebellious criminals in the United States. Do you know anything about Alcatraz?
I know that it's no longer in operation. Mm-hmm. It's located on an island off of Northern California's coast.
Right.
And I know that there were some people that tried to escape once.
Yes. So that's pretty good, I would say, blanket knowledge. So Alcatraz was built in 1933. But before that, it had a long history of being a prison and suffering. Mm. So in 1933, our government, the U.S. government, decided to open a maximum security, minimum privilege prison to deal with the worst criminals of all time.
Okay.
It is situated 1.25 miles offshore from San Francisco. And it's so close to San Francisco that you can actually see it from San Francisco. And Alcatraz Island was a federal penitentiary for nearly 30 years. It operated from 1934 to 1963. And here's some photos. So you can see this little tiny island here.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
And the water in the San Francisco Bay Area is super cold. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a good time if you try to escape. Like, okay. you would freeze pretty quickly.
Or yeah, at least you'd get hypothermia and muscle cramps and drown.
Yeah, I would. I don't like cold water at all. Some people really like it and they've got issues. Okay, so here's some more pictures of it there. You can see, and it's nicknamed The Rock. Because of its formidable, like The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. No,
yeah, yeah, that's exactly why.
it's because it. You know what? I don't know why. It's because they.
It's a rock in the middle of the sea. That's what an island is, right?
And it's hard, right? And prison is hard, I guess. Here's another picture. So see how close it is? Like 1.25 miles. If you really wanted to, I feel like you could swim. Like you could make that happen.
Right. I definitely agree.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a bunch of sharks in there. Don't know if that's true or not. Didn't care about researching it.
Wasn't interesting. Move on to the next topic.
Yeah, exactly. So the inmates who were sent to Alcatraz were known as the incorrigibles. Do you know what an incorrigible is?
I think it's just like if you're an incorrigible, it's like, you act out.
Yeah, it's like the people that like sent you the dick pic and the drunk text.
I feel like when I hear incorrigible though, I think of someone that's like, I always think of like a precocious child that's just like acting out. Right. I don't think of like someone
like
haunted,
a grown man like, sexually assaulting you.
Yeah, with you know? Yeah, yeah. Sexually yeah. harassing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So they were called the incorrigibles because they couldn't stop causing trouble at other prisons that they were at. And the inmates who were judged to be too violent, quote, too violent and unpredictable, they were sent to Alcatraz. Do you know what its other nickname is besides The Rock?
The Box.
Inescapable Hellhole.
Well, that's quite more descriptive than The Rock. I don't think we have to guess at why it's called that.
It's pretty colorful, right?
Yeah.
You know?
The inescapable hellhole?
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah. Like if you're already in prison and they're like, you know what, we're going to send you somewhere worse. And you're like, what's worse than prison? And they're like, an inescapable hellhole, actually.
Right, because if you said, hey, we're going to send you to The Rock.
Right.
You're like, where's Dwayne the Rock Johnson at? Yeah. And is he Fast and Furious? Was he in Fast and Furious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the later ones.
Yeah. Family.
Yeah, family.
Family.
The first convicts that arrived at Alcatraz were brought in secrecy on August 11th, 1934.
Okay.
And they were brought from McNeil Island in Washington State, which was actually a prison.
Okay.
There were 14 prisoners that were brought to Oakland, which is like near San Francisco, via train, and then they were transported to the penitentiary. After they were safely ensconced in their cells, like already in their cells, everything's locked up, the mission has already been completed, then the media was alerted that they had transferred people to Alcatraz. Now, why do you think that they would be so secretive about people moving over to Alcatraz?
Probably because they didn't want like paparazzi on boats over by the island.
Yeah, so that's a really good guess there. That's part of it. But also because the people that they were transferring to Alcatraz were the incorrigibles. They were people who had tried to escape from prison. Mm. They were people who were running like gangs in prison. They were people who were not being reformed by the prison system, right? And so they were thinking, if we let people on the outside know that we're moving these prisoners, some of their buddies might try to break them out.
Oh.
There might be gunfire from gangs, because at this time, 1934, shortly after the Prohibition, there was a ton of gang violence that was going on in the United States, because as we know, maybe we'll get into this in another episode, Prohibition created some of like the most famous gangsters of all time.
Yeah, totally.
Because instead of people like quitting drinking, that didn't happen. They just had speakeasies and they had gangsters who were running moonshine and bootlegging alcohol.
Yeah, organized crime to the extreme.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Mafia shit.
Yeah, and some of these prisoners that were being moved to Alcatraz were famous in the news. Like if you were this crazy famous gangster, you're protected by a lot of the city. Like you have bought out some of the police in the area and
that's
stuff
true.
Like that. So a lot of people aren't going to do anything to put you in prison, you know?
Yeah.
And if you went to prison, they're trying to bust you out to win your favor. That was the first set of prisoners they brought in. Now, by the time that the second set of prisoners was coming in, everyone knew about this. They were like, oh my gosh, there's this maximum security prison that's off the coast of San Francisco that's supposed to be inescapable, that they're sending the most famous, the craziest fucking batshit insane, like, you know, celebrity murderer type people over there. This is exciting. I mean, it's 1934. Like, it's the Depression era.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot to do.
Right.
It's like reality TV hasn't been invented. So this is like the closest we can get to watching trashy
color
people.
TV hasn't even been invented.
Make bad decisions.
Yes.
You
Got
know
it.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. So, we don't have Love Island yet.
Yeah.
So you've got to go to an island.
Alcatraz Island.
And tell a gangster that you love him.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. The original Love Island.
So the prison's most well-known inmates were Al Capone, Robert Franklin Stroud, a.k.a. the Birdman of Alcatraz, Mickey Cohen, and James Bulger. Do you know any of those people? Or have you heard any of those names?
Is that Whitey Bulger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow, you know him.
So this, yeah, I know him personally. Yeah, these are all people from like the Italian mafia, right?
So, actually, I think Whitey was Irish. Oh, I'll get into it. So
okay.
I've took some of the most famous people from the prison because Alcatraz is infamous. There's a ton of stories. If you find this episode interesting, you can go do some research on your own. We only have like an hour to talk about this. So
right.
I've picked some of the most infamous cases. So Al Capone, he was Alphonse Gabriel Capone, and he was nicknamed Scarface because his face was sliced with a blade during a fight. And here is a picture of him. So I've heard of Al Capone. Sometimes people name their horses Al Capone. I don't know why.
People really are fascinated by mob and mafia culture of the olden times.
Do you want us to describe him?
Yeah, he's just like a chubby white guy.
Right?
He has like thinning hair.
Kind of a baby face.
Wearing a suit and tie. In a mugshot.
And he's got that
suit
and
tie.
Tie.
I'm going to scar his face tonight.
Okay, so he started his life of crime as a literal child. He was running around with street gangs as a child.
That's sad.
And then at 20, he moved to Chicago, and he took over all of the organized crime there. Like, he was like, yeah, I see what you guys are doing. You're dead. Now I'm in charge.
I could do it better.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then he rose to infamy as, basically, I wrote the King of Chicago during Prohibition by bootlegging prostitution rings, gambling, murder, and just gunning down any rivals. So you didn't want to mess with this guy, right. Essentially. He was at that time making $100,000 per week.
And wow, in the 30s?
Yes.
Too?
So it's estimated if he was still doing what he's doing today, he would be worth $1.3 billion.
Damn. You know what? Never mind. I was going to say something controversial and it was a joke. It was a joke. I was going to say, I like respect that more than I respect some of our current billionaires.
I know.
Like,
right?
At least he's like, hey, yeah, I'm a billionaire. And yeah, it was gotten through like scamming people and conducting crime instead of currently we have billionaires that are like,
they're still conducting crime and scamming people, but they've changed the legislation so that it doesn't make it appear so.
Correct.
They're like, oh, we have like children in other countries that are dying from some of the offsets of our giant billionaire companies. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I have a child mining lithium for my iPhone or whatever. Yeah. Like, oh, don't care.
What, is that true?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God. See, that every day I learn something that just makes me feel like I can't live on this earth anymore.
But here's the thing. What are you going to do about it?
I know.
You
know? It's like that song by Bo Burnham where he's like, they say the ocean's rising like a give a shit.
Yeah.
They say there's something else. No, they say the world is ending. Well, it already did. It's just like, you're not going to stop it. You've already tried. So go ahead. Now get inside. Did you guys really enjoy that?
That was really good. Thank you. I wish that we like owned the rights to the Jeff Bezos song that he did, because that's what
CEO
I want to play.
CEO entrepreneur, born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. That fucking song gets so stuck in my head. I'm in the middle
really
of the night.
It's really fucking good.
That, and then also this other song that my baby likes. It's like, B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O.
Let's do a mashup. How about in the background of this entire episode, let's have a mashup of the Jeff Bezos song and B-I-N-G-O.
And bingo.
Yeah.
Was his name-o.
Yeah.
Kind of would work. CEO, B-I-N-G-O. Someone who has a
We're
musical talent,
something.
You can do that.
Right.
So basically, he was worth $1.3 billion in olden times speak. But he was controversial in that, unlike our billionaires of today, he would give back to the community. So isn't that weird?
Well, that's like super common in cartels, too, where it's like, okay, you let us do our organized crime here and we'll like build you a church,
a school,
and look,
something.
Your government's not doing anything for you, right. But look, we did this, so ignore all of the other shit we're doing,
right?
Because look, yeah, we built you a church or a school.
Okay, so Birdman of Alcatraz, here's a photo of him, and I regret to inform you that he is hot. I think,
yeah, I mean, he's hotter than Scarface for sure. This guy looks Irish. He's got to be Irish.
His profile, though, there's something about a nice profile. Like, some people from the side look so hot and then they turn forward, you're like, okay, not what I was expecting.
Right.
Maybe that's it, because like your imagination fills out what they're looking to just be the best version of anything. Who knows?
He looks like a bad boy. He's looking at the camera like, hey, I am bad. I couldn't think of anything that bad boys say. Hey, did you know that I'm a bad boy?
Well, he was a convicted murderer, an American federal prisoner, and he was also an author who had been cited as one of the most notorious criminals in the United States. He was never released from the federal prison system. He was imprisoned from 1909 until his death in 1963. He could just not behave. He kept starting fights. He just constantly found himself in solitary confinement, et cetera, et cetera. And it was one of these times that he was in solitary that he found a nest of sparrows that had been injured.
Oh.
And he nursed them back to health. And then he started like breeding stuff and he got all these canaries somehow. I don't know. A long story. Like, I didn't have time to look at that.
Right.
I'm just trying to get to hauntings. Right.
Right. Right.
But it was kind of cool because by the end of his prison stay, he had written a book about canaries and like had done scientific research that was literally published and that went on to like help the scientific community.
How random.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So he was born in Seattle, Washington, and he had run away from his abusive father at the age of 13. By the time he was 18, he had become a pimp in Alaska. And then in January of 1909, he shot and killed a bartender who had attacked his mistress. He was sentenced to 12 years in the federal penitentiary on McNeil Island. To me, I read that, and that I think that's one of those other cases of just somebody who's had like a lot of trauma and doesn't really belong in the prison system.
I mean, it sounds like he was pimping people out, right?
I don't know.
Is that what you said, or did I?
He became a pimp in Alaska.
Yeah, so that's not good.
Yeah. I just heard that he had defended one of his mistresses.
Yeah.
But I, like, for some reason, I forget that pimps are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bad. Yeah. They're like, it's like sex trafficking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sex trafficking. And that's why the sex industry in the U.S. just needs to be legalized, because that way women can work for themselves on OnlyFans or in person, whatever they want to do.
Right.
And then you don't need a shady pimp that's like taking a cut of your money and like trafficking you and choosing clients for you.
It's not like a guy with a cane and like a sparkly outfit.
I mean, maybe. We don't know. We don't know if he was wearing a sparkly outfit in Alaska.
You guys, I'm sorry. I said that he didn't belong in prison, but he totally did.
Well,
he was like saving animals and shit. Like, I don't know.
Say, perhaps he was pimping himself out. We don't know.
Someone attacked him, and so he shot the person. He was his own mistress.
I was thinking, like, he pimped out his ride.
Wow. Okay.
He, like, saw his car in Alaska and was like, I'm going to pimp myself out.
So I told you he wrote that book about birds, basically,
yeah,
right?
Which is why you like him.
It turned out that he had an IQ of 112.
Is that good?
This is how dumb I am. I had to Google IQ ranges to understand if that was good or not. Because why would they include that in a description of him unless it was either really bad or really good?
Yeah. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
So apparently 90 to 109 is average.
Okay.
110 to 119 is high average. 120 to 129 is superior. And 130 and above is very superior.
Okay. So he's just above average. So why'd they even include that?
I don't know.
Don't tell me about it unless you are beating Albert Einstein.
I can't.
Or,
yeah. I can't have an opinion on it until I take an IQ test and figure out where I fall.
Right.
Because if I'm like way above that, then I'm going to have a different opinion if I'm way below that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
So therefore, I have no opinion on his IQ, guys.
We don't even know what the IQ tests were like back then.
Right. Like, is it just pictures of animals and it's like, name this animal?
Right. What noise does the cow make?
Right.
Great. Your IQ is at least 90.
I would be great at that. I'd be like, that's a pangolin. Tell me more about animals. I love animals.
I know that I have taken an IQ test before and I posted it on Facebook back in the day with the results, but I don't remember what the results were. Because remember back in the day?
Wow. It must have been good, because why would you post it on Facebook?
Well, I was going to say, remember back in the day on Facebook, they had like, maybe they still have this. I only go on there for our page, facebook.com/letsgethaunted, if you want to check it out. Sometimes the normies find us on there when something goes viral and it's like middle-aged women not understanding how to comment.
It's Karen's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you used to like take these quizzes that were like built in or baked into Facebook, and then it would automatically post your results.
Right.
But yeah, to your point, I would have deleted it if it said my IQ was like 2.
Adult genius. Flat.
Baby
flat
genius.
Flat earth woman.
Flat. Yes. Hey, I'm just saying, is the earth round?
We don't know.
I might have a high IQ, but I don't remember, so you should listen to me.
Do you know who Mickey Cohen is? By the way, we're going to get through this shit really fast, because then I have to get to the hauntings.
Okay, Mickey Cohen looks like he got punched in the eye. He is another white guy. He looks like a bulldog, and he has like two patches of hair on the side of his head, kind of like Seinfeld. What's his name? George from Seinfeld.
Costanza.
Yes.
Yes. So as a Cohen's story is pretty cool. He was actually boxing in illegal prize fights in L.A. as a teenager.
Sick.
And then in 1929, he was only 15. He moved from L.A. to Cleveland to train as a professional boxer with the alias of Irish Mickey Cohen. He finished his career with 8 wins, 2 by knockout and 8 losses, 4 by knockout and 5 draws. So he was an interesting guy to watch.
Sounds
right?
Like he had some brain damage going on. Boxing is so scary. I watch like UFC every once in a while.
Right.
And it's just like,
So Cohen then moved to Chicago and he became involved in organized crime. He became friends with Al Capone, mm-hmm. and then he was arrested for his role in the deaths of several gangsters in a card game that went wrong.
Okay.
After a brief time in prison, he was released, and then he began running card games again and other illegal gambling operations. He later became an associate of Capone's younger brother, and then while he was working, he was forced to flee Chicago after an argument with a rival gambler pushed him out. Because as you know, these gambling things don't go well. There's some sort of argument, and now people are dying.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Then he somehow got involved in gambling in Vegas and he helped set up the Flamingo Hotel.
That's gnarly.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
He helped set it up. He ran the sports book operation. And then during that time, he met and he fell in love with a sex worker named LaVon Weaver, and they got married in 1940.
Cute.
Yeah. I'm adding that in because I'm trying to show you that these people, like, they weren't. I feel like gangsters are always painted as people who are like only like killing and murdering, but they're doing that so that they can fund their lifestyle. So they're still like getting married and having children.
Everyone is multifaceted, and it's important to hear all the pieces of the puzzle that make up this man.
So last thing, in 1947, the crime families that were operating in Vegas ordered the murder of Cohen's friend, and due to his friend's mismanagement of the Flamingo Hotel. So basically he was like skimming money off of the top of the Flamingo Hotel. So instead of firing him, they decided that they were going to murder him.
Okay.
So they murdered him, and then Cohen got really upset and he ran into the Hotel Roosevelt where the assassins were supposedly staying. He fired rounds from two of his 45 caliber semi-automatic handguns into the lobby ceiling, and he demanded that the assassins come outside in 10 minutes. However, then everyone was trying to kill him. He faced many attempts on his life, including the bombing of his home on the posh street called Marino Avenue in Brentwood in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So then he had to convert his home into a fortress. He installed floodlights, alarm systems, a bunch of fencing, and he had a well-equipped arsenal, which he often joked was right next to his 200 tailor-made suits. That's, to me, that's crazy. That's like somewhere here in LA. I wonder if that building is still there.
Yeah, I would be super interested because I bet you that building's super haunted.
Yeah, crazy. What about James Bulger?
All I know is that his nickname was Whitey, and I'm looking at him and he is an angry looking white guy. He has a widow's peak.
Yeah, he's a first generation Irish immigrant.
Okay, so he is Irish.
Yeah.
He's blonde, wearing a button down.
Yeah. He developed a reputation as a thief and a street fighter who was fiercely loyal to South Boston. That led him to meeting more experienced criminals, and he found more lucrative opportunities through those criminal connections. He was charged with larceny, which I still don't understand. What is larceny?
I don't know.
Crime involving the unlawful taking or theft of personal property under another person or business.
Okay.
Okay, whatever.
All right.
So he was doing that. And then he joined this street gang known as the Shamrocks.
That's sick.
And he was eventually arrested for assault, forgery, and armed robbery. Then he was sentenced to a juvenile reformatory for those crimes. But shortly after his release in April 1948, he joined the United States Air Force. They just let him in, even though he was like a Shamrock gangster man. He also was known for wearing cowboy boots that he kept a switchblade in.
Huh.
I thought that was interesting. So he was in the military for a while, but then he got sent to military prison, obviously, for several assaults, in quotations. And then later he was arrested by the Air Force Police in 1950 for going absent without leave. Then he received an honorable discharge in 1952 and he returned to Massachusetts. Bunch of other shit happened. He was in this federal prison in Atlanta Penitentiary before moving to Alcatraz. Now, if you were sent to Alcatraz, do you know how they got these prisoners there? Like, I can't drive this home enough. These prisoners have connections to the outside.
Right.
So if they're moving like Al Capone, or they're moving any one of these people who were part of these super famous, super powerful street gangs, they would have to have like 100 security guards all armed with like machine guns and rifles and shit in case any of the gangsters showed up to free them out or to just cause a shooting, and or possibly rival gangs would try to shoot them so they couldn't testify against them.
Oh, that makes sense too. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So the way that they got prisoners to Alcatraz was crazy. Have you ever seen pictures of this?
Mm-mm. Is that a fucking tank?
It's a train on top of a boat. So what happens is they would take all the prisoners, they would put them on a train, and this was not a normal train. The train had bars over the windows. It was like fully armed. They had 60 FBI agents standing around on the train. All of the inmates were shackled to their chairs and then handcuffed in their hands, so they weren't fucking going anywhere, securely handcuffed to their seats for the entire journey. And sometimes these journeys coming from Atlanta to Alcatraz took 3 days. So the prisoners were literally just sitting there stuck to their seat for 3 days.
Wait,
with
how do you
60
pee and
people.
Poo?
Probably you might be unshackled and then someone follows you to the bathroom with a gun. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they're just like, shit your pants, who cares?
Yeah.
So
here's a bucket.
Then when you're on the train, once the train gets to a stop that's known as Tiburon, the three-car train minus the locomotive was rolled onto a railroad barge and it was towed to Alcatraz by a tugboat. So you want to describe that photo?
It looks like a tank to me because it's a black and white photo, but I understand it's on water, so it can't be a tank. But right. It just, like, picture a tank that floats, and that's what it looks like.
Also, it's like terrifying to me, the thought of being on a boat and handcuffed. Like, if something goes wrong, you're gonna drown.
That's a great point. I didn't even think of that. But I guess it kind of makes sense because they don't even want to take people out of the train to transfer them to a boat because
it's too dangerous.
Yeah, then like someone could have a headshot for that person, or somebody could, I don't know, like a whole gang of people could pull up and like grab the guy and leave.
Right. So your train coach was literally loaded onto a barge and shipped to the island. And at each stop for water and fuel, if you were on one of these like 3 day trips or whatever, there would be a bunch of federal agents armed with machine guns who surrounded the train entirely. And then in some cases, like the second delivery of the prisoners, the train from Atlanta to the island took 3 days long, like I said. And during that time, they had like 60 marshals and FBI agents just standing inside the train at the whole time. There's a movie called Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood. It's really great. You guys should watch it. But in the movie, they show Clint Eastwood is getting sent to Alcatraz. And he's just like sitting on this train doing nothing. Like he's literally just sitting there. And it's so serious. Like there's people all around him. He can't hardly even see because there's so many like marshals and stuff. And they're like just holding a gun to him the whole time. And he's like, I'm literally just sitting here.
Right. Like, what am I going to do?
Right. So the second delivery of prisoners from Atlanta to San Francisco on August 22nd after the first secret one, it caused quite a stir. So the first time people saw this train get onto a ship with a bunch of dudes with guns surrounding a bunch of guys, they were like super amped on this, right?
Yeah.
So it was exciting. And they were thinking maybe some of these prisoners are famous because Al Capone, they knew that he was at this prison in Atlanta. Maybe he was getting shipped to Alcatraz. Right. So people were really excited. The media was on high alert. And because of this, we have some amazing photographs of the arrival of prisoners to Alcatraz, including Al Capone from August 22nd, 1934. So here is a photo of federal prisoners arriving by train to be loaded directly on the railroad barge for Alcatraz from August 22nd, 1934.
Cool.
Here's Al Capone is supposedly in this photo. I can't really like see anything, but I believe in them.
I don't even know how to describe these photos, you guys, because it's just like it's nothing I've ever seen before. So, yeah, it's like a train. And then there's like close ups looking in the windows of the train. But it's kind of hard to see. Like you can kind of make out some human shapes wearing white. But
yeah,
that's really it. Next photo shows, again, the train.
Yeah, but they're like all 1934, like sepia toned, like black and white. Then you see all these onlookers as the train is going by. People literally came out of their houses and they drove from across town to just go stand to see the train of prisoners go by.
Yeah.
Of like the most famous gangsters.
I mean, again, there wasn't much to do during the Depression other than be depressed. So might as well go and look at some trains.
So the train was being followed by press, media, and onlookers. And the people driving the prisoners decided that they were going to have some issues. So the Oakland Tribune reported, quote, news of its arrival immediately set federal and local authorities on edge throughout the Bay District. It was assumed that either Richmond or Oakland would be made the point of transfer to the Alcatraz tug. It was at these points that gangster gunplay was expected. So they tried to trick the gangsters that were going to shoot up the whole fucking situation. So they rerouted the train off the main line and they sent it south to a little railroad town called Tiburon. And news reporters got even crazier. They chartered boats of their own to harass the barge, get pictures of it, all the way to the island, so much so that the Coast Guard had to step in. So here's a photo of, see that big Coast Guard cutter ship in front of it? So the Coast Guard is there and trying to keep the prisoners away from the media because they don't know, is this really a photographer or is this going to be a gangster who pulls out a machine gun and opens fire?
Well, also, okay, so this paparazzi boat cuts in front and gets run over by this giant barge that's like hauling prisoners. It's just a whole
thing. And now we have more ghosts.
And now we have paperwork.
Yeah, paperwork.
Which is worse than ghosts.
So there were a few residents of Alcatraz, and they were given strict orders to not leave their residencies until the convicts were safely locked inside their cells, to prevent hostage situations. So they didn't want the prisoners to be walking by and there be civilians and the prisoners to like somehow take the people hostage.
Okay.
They were really scared of these prisoners. Like even with them like handcuffed and all of that, they just didn't know what kind of schemes these people were up to because some of them had already escaped from prison and been caught again. So civilians, though, they didn't listen, as civilians do, and they peeked through their windows, and there was even a case of a teenager whose name was Mary Elliott, whose father ran the island powerhouse of Alcatraz, and she said, there he is, Mama, that's Al Capone. Now, I don't know why that tiny sentence lives on in history forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's just like a clipping from a newspaper of like a journalist who like took a photo of a little girl or something and then like captioned it that. Who the fuck knows, but I'm just relaying it to you guys. Once you arrived onto the island, you were shackled to another inmate, and then you're ordered to walk 10 feet forward across a plank from the ship to solid land. Then, in a line of prisoners who are marching two by two, surrounded by security guards on each side and officials, you're marched into the yard and through the cell block. Then you're going to be searched, provided with your number, and allocated to a specific cell. Then you're going to be unhandcuffed from the other prisoner you've been cuffed to, stripped naked, and led to a bathhouse. At the bathhouse, you're examined with a magnifying glass and a flashlight into every orifice on your body. Then you're led to wash yourself. After the shower, you're locked in a cell with your name and number on it.
Just imagine having the job of looking into orifices. That sounds like the worst job you could ever have.
Right. Like, even if you find something, then now you have to dig it out. Uh-oh. Like, what's the deal? So have you ever seen the cells at Alcatraz?
No.
5 feet by 9 feet in size. Notoriously small.
Yeah, that's super tiny.
There's a steel cot you can sleep on, which folds against the wall when not being used because it's so small. There's also a steel shelf to put things on and a steel shelf which you can sit on. And there's a basin and a toilet. Here are some photos of the cell so you can see how small it is and describe it.
So small. I mean, it looks like you could reach your hands across and touch either side of the walls.
Right.
Yeah, super tiny. And then your turlet is right next to your cot.
Your turlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super small.
Very, very tiny.
Right.
Wooden cot. Natalia's scrolling through some photos of different cell blocks. They all look the same. Same layout. You have like a little tiny, almost like a desk.
Yeah.
That is like
it's
bolted
a desk
to the wall.
Slash seat.
Slash like that's where you eat your dinner off of.
Yeah, probably. So if you were sent to Alcatraz, it's because, like we said, you're an agitator, meaning that you stoked the fire, you caused the crimes, you premeditated murders. So before Alcatraz was Alcatraz, it was actually a military prison. The United States Department of Justice acquired Alcatraz from the U.S. Army in late 1933, and they announced that their purpose was to house the nation's most dangerous and devious federal inmates.
Hmm.
The first occupants of the new super maximum minimum privilege security system were 32 military convicts who were left behind when the military vacated the island. I feel like that sucks.
That does suck.
I know.
Also, you know what I'm thinking of right now is just like, it's so interesting. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying it's so interesting that in the 1930s, like the most vile of criminals are like figureheads of gangs, which I agree. That's horrible. But I'm thinking like modern day, like I would be like Jeffrey Dahmer is the worst. Right.
Well, most of these people were finally sent to prison, not because of the crimes they committed, but for tax evasion.
Interesting. Yeah. Pay your taxes, folks.
Right. It was like like, if you're killing people and doing all this other shit, you should pay your taxes, because you should know that the government really only cares about that.
That's true.
And they're going to bust you for all that other shit just as a cherry on top to make themselves look good.
There's a life lesson.
So many of the people who were sent to Alcatraz were hitmen, bank robbers, train heist designers, cold-blooded killers. None of them were, like, weirdos. Like, did we just not have weirdos back then?
I feel like life was so hard that you just, like, didn't have time to be a weirdo. It's like you were either a murderer or you plowed a field, and that's it. There was no in-between.
But, like, you didn't murder for, like, the fun of feeling your knife, like, slice through skin. You murdered because you wanted money or something.
Or maybe we just don't have good enough records of serial killers from back then. But
I guess, like, Jack the Ripper.
That's true. He was pretty fucking whacked out.
Yeah.
But that was, what, the 1800s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that dude had a problem.
Maybe he was doing science. He was like, you guys, I'm writing a book.
Instead of studying canaries, he studied knives. I don't know.
The warden and his assistant at Alcatraz, what do you think that they were like?
Bitchy?
Well, could be said. They were actually popular with the prisoners.
Really?
So they were chosen specifically for their ability to rule the unruly. They were notoriously tough, but they also were like reformists themselves. It's very strange. So they were nicknamed the Iron Man because of how serious they were. But like, for example, the warden, James A. Johnson, he was a highly strict disciplinarian and a reformist who imposed a number of rules upon the prison, including a code of silence that was very strict. He was known as, quote, Old Saltwater to the inmates. And he actually challenged the barbaric tactics which were used in prison at the time, including straitjackets and solitary confinement in darkness. He was like, if you want people to behave, you need to give them like basic human rights. Otherwise, they're just going to act out more. Like if you're never giving them any rewards. So he really tried to make life for them in prison as full as many rewards for good behavior as he could. He believed that having good food would keep them from rioting. So he gave them 3 meals a day and they were good. And prisoners could get more servings if they finished their previous plate. He also believed that only one inmate should be kept in each cell, which was safer than having 2 inmates from other prisons. He also kept them a 15,000 book library and a 75 magazine subscriptions, which was like not really something you did in prison at the time. He also let Al Capone play in a band. He played banjo in a band called the Rock Islanders, which was an inmate band.
Interesting.
So there's rumors that there were prisoners who actually asked to be transferred to the Rock for those perks. And even though he ended up getting attacked by someone.
Of course. No good deed goes unpunished.
Right. He ended up getting attacked by someone during lunch because he always wanted to eat with the inmates and not be guarded, which just feels stupid to me. He got attacked by someone, but then he was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing this because it's working for everyone else, I guess.
Yeah. Like this one dude attacked me. That doesn't negate all of the positive experiences I've had with all these other people.
Exactly.
Good for him.
So during the 29 years that Alcatraz was in operation, the prison witnessed escape attempts from 36 prisoners, 5 of which whereabouts remain unknown to this day. So it worked.
Yes.
The most famous prison escape in U.S. history took place there in June of 1926. And the inmates who escaped were John Anglin, Clarence Anglin, and Frank Morris. All 3 of them were former bank robbers who were sent to Alcatraz to finish out the remainder of their sentences. And rather than wait for their sentences to be over, they decided, you know what? I'm going to escape. They designed the sickest escape ever. Have you ever heard of this escape?
I have, like, on the Discovery Channel, like, you know, you tune in and out of special programs, but I'm excited to hear all of the details because I don't know all the details.
So if you watch that movie with Clint Eastwood, which I recommend, it's very good, Escape from Alcatraz. Clint Eastwood plays Frank Morris, I think. I could be wrong. I think he does. Anyways, he's like the mastermind of this whole thing. So Frank Morris gets all of these guys. He is in his cell and he realizes that the walls are like thin on the other side. And he realizes that from years of just being like near the ocean, it's starting to decay. So what he does is he gets everyone to steal spoons from the cafeteria and then slowly start chipping away at the walls. Then he takes hair from the salon, like collected over many weeks, to make fake heads out of soap wax and like hair they put on the head to make these masks. And then they also stole raincoats that they would later use to inflate as rafts. So here is a photo of how they escaped. So they chipped away to make a hole underneath the sink. You can see how they like took away the grate in front of the sink. They chipped away at it.
Right.
And then they used paint from like their woodworking thing or whatever, and like putty they made it to like cover up the hole when they weren't working on it. So they got a piece of cardboard and they painted it to look like the grate, and they put it in front of the grate.
Wow.
And then they would remove it, dig away behind it, and then if the guard was coming or something, like put that back in front, almost like a photo.
Yeah.
So that you wouldn't know there was a hole behind it.
God, that must have taken so long with a spoon.
Crazy. Well, apparently it didn't take that long because the wall was deteriorating, but they just didn't know it. And then they made these fake heads out of
Those are so creepy.
And they put them on their side and stuffed it so it looked like they were sleeping, so that at night when they escaped, the guards would walk by and they would see like, oh, they're just sleeping in their bed, giving them more time to escape. So they crawled through this fucking wall, which is also mortifying. Look how small those holes are.
No, thank you.
My hips could not fit through that.
Yeah. No, I don't think I could fit like my shoulders through that.
No.
It's like so small. You'd have to like really wiggle and have a lot of faith that like you can just contort yourself enough to get out of there. Because imagine if you're stuck in that.
I know. You get stuck in the wall.
Oh.
Oh, horrible. Then those three men, they went through the ventilation shaft from a utility corridor leading to the roof. So once they got out of their cells or whatever, they were in this big utility corridor, and then they like shimmied their way up on top of the roof. Then they slid down a pipe using the raincoat rafts, and they made it. You guys, if I can't read right now, it's because I have these fucking stupid ass contacts in, and like they like have made my pupils smaller than they are, and I like see red
not
on
enough,
the side.
Yeah, not enough lights getting in.
I like can't see shit.
You're doing great.
So they slid down a pipe using their raincoat rafts, and they made it to the ground. Then they used those rafts to go to San Francisco Bay, and then their absence wasn't even noticed until the next morning, and by then they were already gone. Now, the warden says that they just probably died, but I don't know. I think they got away.
Hey.
I think he's saying that to cover his ass.
Right.
There was also a failed attempt, which was like really fucking sad, but part of the reason that there's ghosts here. So there was an inmate who, there was a couple inmates. I say a couple, like there was like four or five. It's a really long story, so I'm not going to give you guys all the details. But basically, there was a few inmates. They tried to escape. And the way that they did it is they had stolen a yard door key, which was against regulations, so that they could let kitchen staff out easy without having to disturb the gallery officer at lunch. And I guess the gallery officer was like, sure, yeah, then I don't have to bother, you know, with it, whatever.
Then I don't have to do my job.
Yeah, exactly. So then they were going to try to escape with it, but they jammed the door because there were so many keys on. It was like one of those rings with a bunch of keys on it.
Right.
They couldn't figure out which key to go in there, and they eventually like jammed the door. So they were like stuck inside the prison. And then they knew that they were fucked. So they were like, okay, plan B, let's take hostages. So they took hostages of like other prisoners and guards and stuff, and they got a gun from one of the guards. And they were basically like, if you don't let us go, we're going to kill everyone. And then the hostages were like, this went on for like a couple days. They were positioned in a place like above in the prison where you couldn't get to them. So they're just like, imagine like a tower.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of prisoners up there with a gun and a bunch of hostages. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, not much. So, hope that they come back down because they need food.
Yeah. And then the people that were there were trying to cooperate, the hostages. So they were like trying to write down the name of the perpetrators or whatever and like drop it down the tower and send it to people who were trying to help. And then the prisoners got word of that and started killing some of them. So it basically, long story short, there was a couple of the people who tried to escape that were like, yo, okay, we're caught. We're going back to our cells. We're just going to get punished and, you know, we're done with this.
Yeah.
But then there were a couple of them that were like, okay, we're not going to surrender and we're going to die defending this. And they ended up doing that. They actually had to get the military to cut a hole in the roof and drop grenades down on where they thought they were.
Sounds like kind of a poor design for a prison, though. Like, let's just have this one random tall tower.
Yeah.
Where, like, you're going to have to cut a hole in the roof in order to stop anyone who's in there.
I know. I'm saying, but that was where the guards were.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So they thought they had done something good. They're like, we're going to have this impenetrable tower, but it was penetrable, and then it wasn't. Then they made it. Yeah.
Then they had to penetrate it with a hole.
So in March of 1963, they shut down Alcatraz because, why do you think?
Because somebody said that it was inhumane.
No.
No?
What does the government only care about?
Money.
Yeah.
Oh, it was too expensive.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It was too expensive. They're like, you're giving 3 meals a day to inmates?
Yeah.
They're getting to read books and they have magazine subscriptions.
They get a second helping of food if they finish their first plate?
Like, wasteful. Yeah, exactly. So the prison is super haunted, basically. Also, there was a bunch of this is not that haunted, but I guess it could be. Apparently, Al Capone was like super, I mean, he was a bad guy. Like, he just did whatever he wanted, right? So when he was in the prison that before Alcatraz, I guess he like ran the prison. He had bribed a bunch of the guards and stuff like that to let him have like better cell conditions than the other prisoners. So here's a photo of his cell at that prison.
He's got like furniture.
He has nice furniture.
Yeah, he has like a chest of drawers or an armoire, whatever it's called, armoire.
Yeah.
And he has a chair, like a wooden chair. He's got stuff all over the walls. He has a lamp. He has like
oil paintings. He has a radio.
Wow.
So he tried to pull that shit when he got to Alcatraz, and then the warden was like, "No, that's not going to work." And he's quoted as saying, like in one of his letters, he wrote, quote, "It looks like Alcatraz has me licked."
Wow.
But then he started that band, so maybe he enjoyed his time there.
So who's the real winner here?
Right? Okay, so basically there's a bunch of ghosts in this place because they, like, mistreated people. The cell, the D block cell, is, like, super fucked up. Do you know anything about solitary confinement?
I just know that, like, there was some psychological study done that said, like, 2 days in solitary confinement can make you go insane or something. It was like a number of days that's way less than you think. And I also remember that Law and Order SVU did an episode where Stabler goes undercover and he gets put in solitary confinement, and he gets to the point where he doesn't even know how long he's been in there. And then when they finally release him from solitary confinement, because he was like undercover, he's like literally insane and has like PTSD and has to go to counseling and stuff. And he's a police officer.
So, yeah, it's fucked up, basically. Cell block D was the solitary confinement, like, blocks at Alcatraz. And there was people constantly be sent there because these were, like, unruly prisoners, right? So prisoners there were held 24 hours a day with no light, no air circulation, and no toilet. In one of the places, it was just a slop bucket.
Ew.
They get, and the other ones that were, like, better had a hole in the ground. So you're stuck in this damp, dark space with nothing else in it besides maybe a bucket of your shit and piss.
Right. And or just, a hole
with shit and piss in it. And you get let out for 1 hour once a week into the yard if you were good.
No, that's enough to make anyone go insane.
Right. But then isolation like that makes you act out. And so then you don't get let out into the yard. It's just really sad. It's like fucked. So it's haunted. Apparently, The prison spawned many rumors, actually facts, I'm going to say, that it was haunted because there was torture of inmates that was happening there. Now, no prison is going to say, oh, yeah, we torture inmates. So these were just rumors that people said. They were like, that's why it was so secret, because they're torturing inmates there. And in the last years of Alcatraz being in operation, guards reported strange noises coming from the utility corridor where the three inmates were shot during that, like, failed escape attempt.
Right. Nuts. Yeah. I mean, I believe that.
And also, Capone had spent most of his downtime, like we talked about, playing the banjo in that prison band. And in recent years, visitors claim that they can hear the upbeat banjo tune of someone playing banjo somewhere in the prison.
All right. Well, that's Al Capone, because who else fucking played the banjo there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And also, there's ghost sightings. Do you see this photo of a ghost woman who was taken April of 2014 through the window of a visitation block? Look at that.
That's not just the reflection of the person taking the photo?
No, it's like doesn't it look like a 1930s woman?
Yeah, all dressed in black, like as if they're going to a funeral or something. Why would there be a female ghost here?
Because she's visiting. Oh, it's the visitation block. So the way that you had visitors was like through that little tiny window.
Oh, that's not a mirror. That's a window.
It's a window.
Wow.
You want to describe it to people?
Yeah, so I'm looking at like a little small glass window that has like blinders on either side,
right,
and a little table where perhaps someone could like pick up a phone and talk to the person on the other side.
Yeah.
And looking through this clear glass window is just the black like image of a woman that's like all dressed in black. Like a shadow woman. That's what I'm trying to say.
Shadow
looks
woman.
Looks like a shadow woman wearing funeral garb.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that? It's really weird.
That's creepy.
So apparently the image was taken by a 48-year-old British teaching assistant who was named Sheila Sillery Walsh, who visited the jail with her partner, Paul. Sillery Walsh said, quote, "As soon as we entered the prison, everything felt very eerie. I didn't feel comfortable there. While doing an audio tour of the place, I casually stopped to take a snap of the empty visitation block window on my iPhone. When I glanced at the photo on my mobile phone, I saw this dark female figure in the picture. I looked at the window again and there was no one in the room. I knew straight away that the woman in the photo was a ghost, and I showed the snap to Paul. From that point onwards, I wasn't interested in the Alcatraz tour anymore. I just kept looking up the picture over and over again." Her partner, Paul, said, quote, "When I first saw the photo, I tried to rationalize the female figure away by saying it was just Sheila's reflection. But with closer inspection, it's obvious that this is not the case at all. The woman's hair and clothing is from a different era entirely. It looks like she's from the 1930s or 40s. I have no logical explanation for the girl in the picture. I'm baffled by her. It's funny because she's staring right at the camera with a knowing look. I was really skeptical about ghosts before, but I'm a bit more of a believer now. I do think that the woman in the photo is a ghost." The couple have tried to find out the identity of the woman in the photo.
Oh, good.
And they even contacted the staff at Alcatraz, but none of the old timers recognized the woman in the photo.
That's so cool. I wonder, like, who was she there to visit? Like, who is she? Like, because typically the stories we hear about, right, are like ghosts come back to areas that they have an attachment to, right?
Yes.
So if you die in a house, you might stay in the house. Or if you, I don't know, die and you used to always wear this like gold locket, maybe the ghost has some attachment to that gold locket,
right,
and will show up wherever that locket is. So the fact that a ghost would show up at a prison area where clearly the person didn't die,
yeah,
because it was a male only, right, jail, then she must have like a crazy attachment to that area. And I want to know who she's visiting.
Me too. If you're that ghost, comment below.
Call us at 1-800-GHOST-TIME.
Thank you. So that warden I told you about, James A. Johnston, who was the first warden of Alcatraz, he reportedly heard and saw tons of ghosts during his stay there. While he was patrolling the prison, he said that ghosts still lingered in the blocks, and they were there from the time of when it was a military prison, or even before. So before, jeez, it was a military prison.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, before it was a military prison, it was a prison like back even before then, like during Gold Rush times, I guess.
Oh.
Like in the 1840s and 1850s. Isn't that fucking nuts?
That is nuts.
So he even reportedly heard a woman sobbing while conducting a tour of the prison in its heyday.
And this guy is like super rational, well-liked, like,
right,
humanitarian,
like no straight jackets,
kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if he's hearing this shit and thinks it's haunted, I feel like, I don't know, I believe him.
And he would clearly not like a woman crying.
No.
Like, he'd be like, don't cry. So right, it was really upsetting to him.
Well, and again, women aren't supposed to be in this jail. So hearing a woman's,
right,
voice, that would be very alarming anyway. Because you can't just rationalize it away and be like, oh, it's one of the guards, or it's, you know, whatever. Somebody... I don't know.
He was haunted by the rule-breaking women crying in the prison.
Maybe in Gold Rush times, they would throw women in that jail. Hey, guess what? We're rewriting the history books. That's what it was. I cracked it.
My jaw is on the floor.
Oh, yeah. If you guys are just listening to the audio version, Nat's mouth is wide open.
I can't speak because my mouth is on the floor.
My jaw has unhinged because I've solved it.
My wig flew. Okay. We're getting towards the end of this, so I'm trying,
yeah,
to make it really entertaining.
Right.
Wow. Some ghost hunters and spirit seekers and paranormal enthusiasts believe that they have interacted from ghosts from the earliest days. Some believe that Native American prisoners who perished during the Civil War,
oh,
still haunt the prison. They hear whispering and moaning sounds at night, and they claim to see floating blue lights and figures. Some even report the hearing of clanking of prison chains.
See, I don't know why in my head I like passed over the part in the intro where you were explaining that this prison's been here for a long time. And I just went straight to like, oh, it was there because Al Capone needed a place to stay. And now that I'm realizing how fucking old and how many different types of prisoners from different eras have stayed there, like, yeah, how could it not be haunted?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, actually, so before it was a prison, there's like dungeons that are underneath the prison that they would even send prisoners to. So underneath cell, the D block where the solitary confinement is, those used to be dungeons from back in the Civil War days. And you can see on the writing on the wall.
Oh, wow.
In there, like where people had written, had carved like how many days they had been there or whatever.
Right. So Natalia's showing me a whitewashed brick wall or stone wall, and somebody has carved into it day, and then there's just hatch marks to indicate how many days they've been in that dungeon.
And then I think it says like something 8 1934. Does that say September 8th 1934?
It's kind of hard for me to tell, but yeah, I think I can see the 1934 and I can see the 8. I can't see what's before it.
Yeah, maybe it says, I think it says September or SEP. I'm not sure. And then it says day. So maybe the day that they got thrown in there, they knew what date it was. Because right. They can like read the newspaper or whatever. And so they carved that on the wall so they wouldn't go
and
insane.
That's a lot of hatch marks too.
Yeah. And then they started counting the days. Here's some more photos of those.
Wow.
So like I said, before the D block became the hole or whatever, it was previously the site of a massive brick barracks built by the U.S. Army in the 1850s, which was called the Citadel. And Army prisoners had demolished it in 1908 to make way for a new military prison. So can you like just imagine you're in this super shitty dungeon where you have a slop bucket to shit in, and your only thing you get to do is hard labor. And they're like, okay, you're going to build a prison for more prisoners to come.
Yeah, what like a scam, you know? It's like you go to prison and now you have to build more things to bring in more prisoners.
Yeah, it's like, welcome to prison. Now you do this. I didn't have anything creative to say there, yeah. Guys.
No, it's like, okay, you go to work at... Never mind. I actually can't think of any comparison.
You guys, comment below the script of what we should say right now.
I was going to say, you go to your job at Walmart and now you have to build another Walmart. Like, yeah. That's a fucking ripoff. That sucks. Like, I'm not a construction worker. I came here to do retail. I don't know what I'm doing.
So those underground cells were referred to as dungeons, and they still fucking used those in the Alcatraz day. It's like literally a dungeon.
Yeah, it's straight up a dungeon.
It's dungeon.
It's just an empty fuck. Picture a dungeon. That's what it is.
And they were eventually replaced by the present D block isolation cells. And so, yeah, super haunted. I mean,
super,
you've got
fucking haunted.
Ancient prisons on prisons on prisons.
Yeah.
Like... So paranormal seekers also say that the solitary confinement is the D block is the most haunted in the prison, the hole, in other words. And they say that 14D is always freezing cold, even during the summer when it's hot in the rest of the prison. And that it also always elicits a feeling of sudden intensity. People just feel like they walk in there and they can feel this like energy that's not right.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. The place, first of all, it looks totally undesirable in general.
Right.
Like, I don't want to spend longer than I need to in a dungeon in general. And then to know that, like, all of these people were tortured there and so many different people from different eras have been imprisoned there, solitary confinement. I mean, buckets of slop poop.
Yeah.
Like...
It was probably more likely that it was like constipated poops, because I feel like if you don't get any exercise and you're just like sitting in a corner all day, like your system's not going to be flushed out.
I mean, it depends on what they were feeding them.
Just more poop. It's fucked up. No, they weren't.
No,
I don't think they got the good food.
Like,
there.
Yeah, if because I don't know about you guys, but if I eat certain types of food, just immediately coming out the other end.
Right.
So I just feel like it depends on what kind of food they gave them. If they were feeding them only like spaghetti with no sauce, I feel like you'd be really constipated. But if you were just given...
What gives you diarrhea, Alyssa? Why don't you just go ahead
so
and tell
us?
There's
so many fucking things. Gluten gives me diarrhea. Dairy gives me diarrhea, and egg gives me diarrhea.
Wow.
And all three of those things also cause me to vomit.
Wow. The idea of eggs grosses me out.
I I love eggs. I'm so sad I can't eat eggs.
Really? I get sad because I think like, oh, this is like a baby.
An embryo. But it's unfertilized.
Right. What came first? The egg or the chicken egg?
These are the questions. I just want to freeze frame. I want you to freeze frame on this and have like an inspirational quote. This is what came first, the egg or the chicken egg. That's what we should do from now on.
So people also believe that ghosts are in the D block cells 11, 12, and 13.
Haunted, 13.
And 11 and 12.
13, though.
Is super haunted, right?
Super haunted.
So that's my episode. Do you have any other questions?
No. I mean, I automatically just believe it's haunted. I feel like you could have told me no information and been like, hey, do you think Alcatraz is haunted? And I'd be like, from the two sentences of information I've heard about that place, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like I gave a very Disney version of Alcatraz, but obviously prison in the 1930s was not very humane. And no. Even though you had this warden who was trying his best to be
like what he thought was humane.
Right. He was like, oh, no straitjackets. I'm really good. You know, like
I'm progressive. Yeah. And maybe he was for the time. But yeah, I mean, now I think we know that solitary confinement is its own form of torture.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's super haunted. If you would like to go on a tour there, you can go. And I think it's weird that people go on tours there. I will do it because I want to see what they're seeing.
Yeah.
But I also think it's weird.
Hey, let's go there. You guys want us to go to Alcatraz on Halloween this Sunday? It's too late for us to do that, but drop a comment.
Yeah, let us know where you guys want us to go.
Yeah, where you want us to go next for our next haunted vlog. But yeah, I mean, I definitely believe that that place is haunted. And the story of the guys that escaped and made like these doll heads from soap wax and just random people's hair, that's its own kind of haunted.
I also feel like, okay, so if you were in a prison like that where if you got caught breaking the rules, you would be sentenced to solitary or they would like extend your prison sentence. Would you try to escape or would you just be like, you know what? I'm going to keep my head down for like my 4.5 year sentence or whatever it is. And then when I get out, I'll do whatever the fuck I want again. But
yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how long your sentence is, because it sounds like some of these people started with a like soft sentence. I mean, whatever.
And they kept extending it.
And they kept extending it. Yeah. Because they weren't behaving well. I mean, who knows what the real story is? And so I feel like if I knew, hey, I'm not getting out until I'm 99, well, the odds of me living to 99 are not good. So like, yeah, I mean, you have nothing to lose at that point. Might as well, especially if you're already in solitary confinement, already shitting in a bucket, like already not getting to go to the library or getting to do anything. And you're just like in this dark, haunted place. Also, I mean, since this prison was used so many times, who's to say that the people living in the cell blocks weren't also living with ghosts?
Right.
Like, absolutely, I would try to escape at that point. Like, cool, I'm stuck in a 5-foot by 9-foot cell in the dark.
Yeah.
Let out 1 hour a week, shitting in a hole in the ground, and I've got several ghosts in here with me, and it's not enough space for all of us.
Yeah, and I mean, I think some of them were like at the time living with like diseases and things like that, so they weren't comfortable there.
No,
I think Al Capone might have died of one of them died of syphilis. I can't remember who
it was.
Sucks. I think it might have been him, but I don't want to like say that was
true. You don't
want
to slander his name.
I know.
I mean,
like,
you know,
if he just died of like regular syphilis and not like
not super syphilis. Yeah. Not prison syphilis. Yeah, it's different.
One of them did, because I remember being like, wow, that probably was really miserable.
Yeah, because as we know, as we've learned in our Beast of Bray Road episode, it like ate away at your skin and skull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awful.
Terrible.
Well, that's my episode.
I loved it. Thank you, Natalia. I think that this is the perfect episode to finish out our haunted, I was going to say haunted girl summer. Haunted girl summer is a state of mind, not a season.
Right.
So although we are in spooky season, October Halloween town time, I think it's also important to know that it's still haunted girl summer and you can still get merch at letsgethaunted.com if you'd like to celebrate that.
And if you don't, straight to jail.
Right to jail.
Jail!
I loved this episode, Natalia.
Oh,
thank
really?
Thank you very much. Yes.
Oh,
I had a
good.
Great time. I like the haunted history of the United States and the world all over. Really interests me. So
yeah. And if you guys have any ideas for podcast episodes, you can go to our Reddit or you can comment on the photo dump for this episode what you want to happen.
And thank you for being with us for this month.
Yeah. Go ahead and do our sign off.
I'm like trying to think in my head of what to even say. BRB, gotta go pimp my ride in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye.